Hey, this is John F. Mers, author, actor, and owner of 1021 Studios, and you're listening to Citywide Blackout.
Hello, Nick. How's it going, man?
Hey, Max. How you doing?
Doing pretty good, man. Doing pretty good. All right. Well, folks, we are live once again. Citywide Bites back on the air, so to speak, on our Instagram page. We're here every Saturday, 10 a.m. EST. We are now four episodes in, and I am very happy that number four is with this guy right here. Author Nick Roberts is back to talk about his just released book, Mean Spirited. This is basically a haunted dog story, which never heard of those before, and I'm very glad that that we could talk about this. But before we go into this, guys, I got to show you something because, you know, covers are a wonderful thing. They introduce you to the book. They show you what it's all about. And here's a cover for Nick's book. There we go. Right there. Right there.
There it is.
This is pure nightmare fuel, and I am here for it, sir. So first off, man, welcome back. It's good to have you back on the show.
Thank you.
The cover, man. Where did this thing come from?
So I knew I wanted an oil-based painting, like a physical painting that I could have as my cover. Not to take anything away from any of my previous covers. I love all of my previous covers. I think they're fantastic. But I wanted kind of a throwback to those, like, scary stories to tell in the dark type of images. So I searched artists and I asked other authors for advice, and I got hooked up with this guy, Brian Cazzotti, and he sent me some concepts. I saw some of his previous work, and I said, yeah, man, just go for it. Here's the prologue. It'll give you a feel and a vibe for, you know, what the horror of it is, and some imagery. And he sent me back basically with just a few minor tweaks that we made along the way. And it was very easy on my part. I lucked out.
Yeah. I mean, I have seen some really good horror covers in my time, but this one, dude, like when Curtis, my co-host, and I saw this, we were both just like, what the hell? This is amazing. it was just like, it took us a while to realize, oh wait, this is a dog. I can see like the ears on top. Okay. Now I get what this is.
Yeah,
man. I mean, this guy just like nailed it right off the bat. Just nailed it.
Yeah. My only contribution, once I saw it, I said there was a little bit of area in the foreground. I said, you know, this is a story about a recovering or an active alcoholic, and you know, he's got to get his stuff together to face what's in front of him. So what if we had, you know, maybe a broken bottle, and that way we have the dual sided mean spirited, you know, spirits, alcohol, spirits, ghosts. We have that dual meaning. So I that was my input into the cover.
You know what? I didn't quite catch that initially, actually. So thank you for pointing that out. So let's dive now into our main character, of course. Matt Matheny, he is a teacher by day, a drinker at night. He is divorced. He has a child. His life is really in a bad spot, really. He really isn't even trying to hide his, you know, problems right now. And things get worse for him because he becomes a dog owner. A student dies. He becomes the owner of the dog. And the dog is followed by this dark presence. It just starts, like, lashing out. And it's really up to Matt and his ex-wife, Lucy, who's a vet, appropriate, to bring this thing to an end, to find out what's happening and how they can fight it before their whole town is just wiped out. So I want to ask about the character of Matt. He's obviously the main character, or one of the mains. What was the thinking behind making him such a, I guess, like a troubled character?
I think troubled characters are more interesting. And I think the farther down you are on the scale, on the ladder, the more people want to see you climb back up and, you know, overcome that character arc in the midst of all the horror that's going around in the story, I think makes for a more compelling narrative. When you have that internal conflict, you know, going tandem with the external conflicts of the real evil that's around him, and then you have that insidious evil that's inside his mind that's telling him how to cope with it, which would only make things worse. I think that's what drew me to having that character with that flaw.
Is Matt the kind of person who can overcome hardship, or does he really need support from, you know, his ex-wife in this case to, you know, deal with the situation?
Yeah, he definitely had to have support. If Lucy was not a character in this story, I don't think Matt would have made it past the first few chapters. you know, he, not to spoil anything, but he doesn't handle things well at first. And that's one of my issues with having just, you know, one protagonist. And one of the things that I caught flack for with The Exorcist House was having multiple main characters and people jumping in people's heads at the same time. People called it head hop. I got crucified.
What?
And I said, okay, I'm not going to do that this. Yeah, I said, I'm not going to do that this time because I just think visually. You know, whenever I'm watching a movie, it'll cut character's perspective to another character. So you have a reaction shot. You know what that other character is thinking. So when I'm writing a dialogue scene, in my mind, I'm like, okay, the audience or the readers want to know what this person's thinking or reacting or feeling. So that's what The Exorcist House. I got crucified for it. But with Mean Spirited, that I was going to stick with one protagonist. But, you know, it's from his perspective. But I had to step my game up in order to really know how... you know, his relationship and his effect on son and his wife changed throughout the novel.
Okay. Tell us a little more about his ex-wife, Lucy.
So Lucy, she's a central character. You know, I knew that I had to have her be a veterinarian. And, you know, I have a cousin, and she swears up and down she's a veterinarian, and she swears up and down to this day. She makes it her claim to fame that this book is about her, and in a joking way. But I said she was a great resource to have when writing the book. I had to have a veterinarian's perspective, you know, with some of those scenes. But Lucy is one of my favorite characters that I've written because. At first, because we're in Matt's perspective, we're seeing her through his eyes, and he's a little bit resentful, and he's still in love with her, but he's not doing so well. And, you know, once we get to see how Lucy kind of handles Matt and deals with him and helps him through this, then I think we start to root more, you know, for Lucy and see, you know, that she's kind of been put through the ringer with Matt. And, you know, I think she's a very empathetic character. I think she's a very strong character. And there wouldn't be much of a story without her.
Ah, okay. Okay. All right, then. So Matt becoming a dog owner, as if he doesn't have enough to cope with. Now he's got responsible for this dog when his student dies. And I'm like, okay, that's a swerve. I like this. Not that the student dies, but just that we get to, you know, go down this path. That was dark. Jeez. But what happens to the student? Does it kind of tie in with the dog?
So, with the student aspect of the story, you know, I'm a teacher by my day job. I've been teaching for about 6 years. And, you know, one of the first things one of my mentor teachers told me is that you're going to experience students pass away, and it's going to be shocking. And, you know, I list in Mean Spirited some of the students and how they pass away, and a lot of that's 100% true, you know, drawn straight from my own life as a teacher and seeing the tragedies that, you know, kids go through, and, you know, life happens. And, you know, I thought, how can I get this Lucy, not Lucy, but Ronnie, the student, she started out just as my entryway into this world. She's in the prologue. Some scary things happen, and you quickly realize that it has something to do with this dog. this her dog that she adopted named Conehead, and she named him that because he was found with a veterinary e-collar cone around his neck. So she has this Labrador Conehead, and you know, when she's killed, and Matt takes it upon himself kind of to go over to her house, because she was in his first year of teaching. She was one of his students, and she kind of stood out as a really, you know, nice kid. And you know, so he took a poem over to her house that he kept, you know, from his pile of student work over the years. And his goal was just to leave it there as sort of a memento in case any family member were to come by. And then this goofy Labrador comes up, and he sees that it's her dog because it has address on the collar. So now, of course, with him having a wife who's a vet, and he has a young son who he wants to impress, this seems like a perfect situation. You know, he's got this goofy Labrador dog, and you know, he doesn't have it in his heart to leave it there. So that's where our story sort of kicks off.
Okay. All right. I want to pause for a quick second and say to the folks watching, if you got questions, comments, let us know. Ask away. I see Derek Rook is there. What's up, Derek? Past friend of the show. Good to see you again, man. So, all right. So this dark presence following this dog, also Conehead, I think is one of the best dog names I've heard in a while. We were like, Curtis and I were like, "What? Why is he called Conehead? What an odd name for a dog." But there we go. There we go. So without giving away any kind of spoilers, of course, this dark presence, what is it and what does it do?
So I have the worst for this book ever. When you go up to somebody and say, "Hey, I wrote a book about a haunted dog," immediately my mind goes back to like that R.L. Stein Goosebumps book, like the barking goat. And I said, that's just terrible. I can't pitch that. But if you think of Conehead, the dog, in terms of like a spiritual lightning rod for all things evil, and how he came to have this curse or this affliction, you know, but he's a goofy, lovable dog. There's just this thing that's attached to him that causes some very evil things to happen, and it's up to Matt and Lucy to figure out what's going on and how to stop it.
Okay.
And the big balancing act was, you know, if I have a dog and it's, I see that it's responsible in one way or another for jeopardizing my family, how do I get rid of it? Well, there are a ton of readers who will not stand for any kind of animal abuse or any kind of, you know, leave the dog alone, kill all the kids and all the people you want. But if you touch the dog, you're a horrible human. So my challenge as a writer was, you know, as a father, what would it take for me to keep this dog around? You know, it would take seeing the dog help the kid. It would take seeing the dog help me and be essential to, you know, our survival. So I had to come up with things like that to help the reader suspend disbelief for all the non-dog lovers who are just like, well, just take the dog out back and put it down, you know?
Yeah, no, you can't do that. And that's way too simple a thing, too, because then it's like chapter two of the book's over, right? It's like, oh, well, hey, that was short. I want to also give a shout out to hopefully I get the name right. Jane Cassell is saying, this is my favorite book Nick has written. Appreciate the comment. Thank you for that. And of course, Nick's written some amazing books. So, all right, let us talk a bit then about, this, you're right, that this book is an homage to Stephen King's Cujo, certainly a classic. And there are probably other like haunted animal stories out there, but what about Cujo sort of, I guess, inspired you to say, hey, let's, you know, do the story?
Obvious connection is that a family is in because of a dog. You know, in Cujo, you have the mom and the son trapped in a hot car and they can't get out because that evil, well, not evil, but a dog that's been bitten and rabid is, you know, in the car, kind of like the shark in Jaws. But with I think the Cujo thing was thrown in there more as a, you know, just to compare it, compare it to a story where a dog has been seen as terrifying, because it's so hard to make dogs scary. We love, so, you know, my thing, I compare it more to, when I first started writing it, I said, I'm going to write something in the vein of The Strangers meets, and that sort of, once Conehead showed up in that first page, it became his story. So how do I keep The Strangers, Stolungs, like, home invasion type of story, but within the realm of having the dog as being responsible for it? So, you know, I don't plot, I don't outline. Watching this story unfold as I wrote it sort of was a bit of a rough, you know, it was horrifying at times because I didn't know if it was working. I didn't know if people would just laugh and say, oh, it's, you know, a haunted dog story. But yeah, it's, I think the only Cujo comparison is that the dog is the antagonist, but is he really?
We'll find out. You got to read the book, though. You got to read the book, which was just released, actually. So this release, as I understand, was just like yesterday, right? This book just came out?
Yeah, so we had a bit of an odd release, a strategic release plan with this. We, on Christmas Day, I opened up a 100 reader in Facebook and dropped the ebook. And I just wanted to get people's initial feedback. It was overwhelmingly positive. So I knew that I had something, you know, I felt good about it. And then we soft release with the paperback and hardback about a week ago. And those started selling really well and popping up on Facebook and social media. And then the official release date was yesterday. So if you pre-ordered like the ebook, or if you pre-ordered the hardback or paperback, it's in your mailbox. It was in your mailbox yesterday, or it was on your Kindle tonight. And yeah, so it's had this snowball momentum leading up to this release. So the last that I checked, it was number one in American Horror. I don't know. I haven't checked this morning, but as of last night, that's where it was.
Damn. Well done. Well done. Really, like, well deserved too, because like your books are just like amazing.
Thank you.
Where do you go from here though? I mean, are there like other ideas you're kind of pursuing now, or are you going to sort of take a break and just work on getting this thing out there more?
I wish I could take a break. I was up late last night going through my first reading of The Exorcist South Genesis, because I finished that this week.
Right.
And I've yet to go back and read through it for the first time. So I'm about a third of the way through that. It's my longest book by far. It's like 350 pages. It's over 100,000 words, but it's an epic story. And right, I'm reading that. I'm proofing that. I'll send it off to a few people to read, and then I'll forward it on over the good people at Crystal Lake Publishing to start that whole editing process. But that comes out in September. Now, as soon as I shove that off and put, you know, that's off my plate and it's in the editor's hands, I have to finish this novella that is ongoing on my Patreon page. I've been releasing sections of this novella as like a serialized novella, and it's called Dead End Tunnel, and I'll be finished with it in April. It'll be edited, and I'm actually going to release this one myself and experiment with that.
Ooh.
And it's coming out in June. So that'll be my first experimentation with actually self-publishing from a manuscript to a fully polished product. And then, I've already signed the rights to Anathema Legacy, which is the sequel to Anathema. That's coming out in the beginning of 2025, and I'm already outlining the next novel called My Corpse Has a Heartbeat, and I bought the cover for that. So I just need time.
Right. Yeah, a lot of time, I would say. But good on you, man. Good on you. All right. Well, Nick, as always, great to have you back on the show. This book is amazing. I cannot wait to check it out. And for the folks, if you are just joining, of course, this whole thing's recorded. It will be released in the podcast later on. But if you want to learn more about the writer, it is nickrobertsauthor.com. Again, mean-spirited, just out. Get yourself a copy and enjoy the cover. And enjoy the rest of the story, too. And Nick, we're talking very soon, man.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that brings this episode to a close, everyone. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for the comments. I appreciate that. If you are not already, follow us on the Instagram, Citywide Max, Citywide Max also on Twitter and Facebook. And of course, you can catch our other episodes on numerous podcast platforms, Spotify, Podbean, Amazon Music, many, many others. And thanks again. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time. And with that, we bring this episode to a close. Thanks for listening, and if you haven't already, check us out on Facebook under Citywide Blackout, and Twitter and Instagram under Citywide Max. You can catch this and all your favorite episodes on your favorite podcast platform, and new episodes are added every week, as well as on Boston Free Radio every Saturday at 10 p.m. You get at me at citywidemax@yahoo.com if you want to suggest a guest, submit your music, or just drop us a line. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time.